This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Bow Ties and Bullshit, the spinoff from Two Birds on a Bat. You guys have been enjoying this as it brings in more of an analytical approach, more of a behind the scenes, under the sheet, so to speak. I'll use that for Kyle approach to what's going on with whether it be players, the team, the way the game's going. Like I said, just a different look that involves, as you guys know, each week I'll have in Kyle Reese from Prospects After Dark and Birds on the Black, who spends a ton of his time checking out the background of players, where they came from, the guys that are currently in the minor leagues. You know, some of the guys that, you know, he probably didn't follow as closely when he was in the minors. I'll ask him to go back and look at their profile then and then see where it is today and kind of put it all together and see if what we have is what we have. And I enjoy when he does that. And, of course, Mo's Algorithm, who analytically takes a look at everything. And then we kind of put it together against the eye test. And then we welcome in Brendan Schaefer, of course, who brings in a new age look to baseball. And I say new age because he's a lot younger than me. So, you know, I expect his view on the game to be different than mine, and I appreciate it. I find it refreshing, and I like to have the back and forth. So I know you guys are enjoying the show, judging by the comments and the stuff we get in on it. The downloads are there, so we're happy to keep it going, and we know you guys like it. We've kind of taken the tact of whatever we talk about on Mondays because, you know, really, let's be honest, a lot of it on Mondays is just pure opinion and speculation. So we come on here on Wednesdays, and we ask the quote-unquote experts to break it down and look at it from all sides. And I don't know about you. Well, I will say I know about you because I've had a lot of people get engaged in this and say some of the same things I have, and that is these guys sometimes have changed my opinion. Sometimes they've affirmed my opinion, and sometimes I just plain disagree, and that's what makes this a lot of fun. So we're going to welcome in Mo here in just a minute. I want to thank InnovativeCompanies.com for making the show possible. Of course, Randy Green and everything he does for us with his four companies underneath that one umbrella that form the Innovated Companies. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. They've got you covered. Heating and cooling, which I know a lot of people are calling the heating man right now for sure. The electric team, the plumbing team's up and running now, and, of course, the always reliable construction team. That's InnovatedCompanies.com. We always come to you from the patio studios. We want to remind you that when baseball gets back up and running for sure, that that's the original party place for St. Louis Cardinals baseball. You can find us at twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. Do your shopping at Amazon there. Real easy to do, and you just simply click the banner. You're done with us. It helps our producers, Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen. You know, social media is just never slowing down. It's on tilt all the time, good and bad. I enjoy the bad probably as much as the good, which is a shame to some degree. But you can find us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. You know our deal. If you're a Cardinal fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back. There's no blocking here, no unfollowing here. Everybody has an opinion, and whether or not we agree with it, and whether or not you're wrong, we don't care. I'm just kidding. We're wrong, too. So, Facebook, that's real easy. You just type in Two Birds on a Bat. That's our big push right now. So type in Two Birds on a Bat. When you find our Facebook page, we're going to ask you to do some stuff. Like it and follow it, and then click invite your friends. We'd like, well, you guys are really doing that too, so thank you. We're seeing multiple people like our page that are friends of somebody that's already liked the group. So we'll do another contest with that later. I liked the one we did this year where the people that had, for every friend you had that mutually liked our page, you received an entry for a jersey. We'll do that. Maybe we'll do that around Christmas, kind of get people going there. But what we're doing right now is we pin the show on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. It's always out by 5 o'clock. So on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, if you go to our page, you like and comment on the pinned post and then share it, you're eligible for the autographed memorabilia. I believe our interns will have a new contest put together for the show tomorrow. We'll be giving away an autographed baseball to one of our listeners out there that has met the criteria on our pinned post. And every time you do it, you're entered in the drawing. So over the course of 2 or 3 weeks, you know, that's 9 shows. You have an opportunity to be entered 9 times in the drawing if you do it every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Instagram, Two Birds and a Bat Show. Like us there. Again, happy to have you follow us for sure. Lineupmedia.fm houses us. We're happy to be a part of what they do. They have Yo Radio just up and running right now, and it's rolling. You can download it for free on your mobile device in the App Store. Yo Radio, it's a great streaming platform. It's classy. The new version's out. You're going to enjoy it. So download it today. It's absolutely free. The question today before the panel, very simple. Is Josh Donaldson a really good option B? So, you know, the question to the audience is always, would you be happy? Because I think people are either happy or sad sometimes, and it really doesn't matter if it's good or bad. I mean, people want something, so, you know, it's kind of like going and buying a car. Sometimes you buy a car even though it was a bad deal just because you wanted it. And so that's how I always look at these things. So I'm going to take an approach of I'm as much as I love Josh Donaldson, he's a major risk. But I almost feel like we may have to take one if other things don't work out. And those things are realistically probably not going to work out, no matter how much I or anybody else feels they should. So that's the question before the group today. Is very simple. I can't make it any simpler. Is Josh Donaldson a good plan B? And now, thanks to our partners at Gators Baseball Academy, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, the four-pillar system is in effect there. They're going to work on the person as much as they are the athlete. You can go to GatorsBaseballAcademy.com now and learn about the academies that are going on for off-season training. They have the Missouri Gators. They have the Illinois side of the river now covered with the Illinois Gators and, of course, their prep, Gators Baseball Academy. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Again, their four-pillar system is amazing, and if you're looking for something positive for your son or daughter, it's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. All right, got to switch it up this week as my man Kyle Reese has got a little problem at the job site, so he's going to be a little behind. So we switched up the rotation, and we're going to go ahead and bring in my man Mo's Algorithm. What do you say, Mo?
Hey, Jim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. So, have you ever led off before? I mean, usually you're in the two hole. Now today you're leading off.
I have a thing for leadoff hitters, so I can handle this.
Okay, I'm going to be checking your OBP after this. And do you have any speed? I've never asked you. Do you have any speed?
Not a lot of speed. I'm more of a Matt Carpenter type of leadoff hitter.
Oh no! Half the people now are like liking our stuff, and half the people listening just turned it off. Nice job. Well, Mo's. So I had sent you this. So the question in front of the group, and I want to say this to our listeners. I understand that this question is a loaded question, right? So the question is very simply, is Josh Donaldson a good plan B? Now, people are like, well, I think it's a risk. I get all that. Imagine that plan B means that we did not sign Harper or Machado or make a trade for an impact bat. So that's plan B to me. Like, and again, how many great impact bats are out there, right? So unless you've traded for Goldie or Arenado or signed Harper or Machado, now we're into plan B guys. So that's why I classify Josh Donaldson as plan B. So you have to look at it like, so some of the people that have answered my question already on the Monday show where we gave an opinion of, well, no, I think we should go with Harper, or well, I'd just rather pay Machado. Well, so would I. Okay, but we're assuming that that doesn't happen, so we move on to plan B. So that being said, your thoughts initially on Josh Donaldson as plan B?
Well, I think it's a must, really. I mean, if you don't If you don't add a guy like Machado or Harper, the offense needs something. And we know third base and right field are the two areas where the needs, you know, are pretty glaring. So I think it's a no-brainer, really. I think the fit is there. I think the length of the contract is more appealing to this conservative front office. The only thing I guess I would be concerned about is, you know, are you getting another Dexter Fowler where in a year and a half, this 3 or 4 year deal looks really, really bad because he can't stay healthy. So I would hope that the Cardinals would do a lot of due diligence on his health with doctors and whatnot to make sure that what they're investing in is something they can keep on the field for 140, 150 games a year. But I think if you can't get one of the big guys, you have to add Donaldson. You have to take that risk and hope it works out for you. Because if you don't add someone like him, the offense just isn't, it's just not enough. There's just not enough punch there. As we can see, you know, of the teams left in the World Series, you need more than what the Cardinals offer when it comes to offense. And I think Donaldson showed when he was in Cleveland, it was only 60 plate appearances, but he was very, very good. He definitely showed that when he is healthy, he's still the guy. It's just a matter of whether those legs can stay healthy or not.
For me, as I look at it, I know you're going to break down. I know you're going to look at the overall numbers and you're going to say, okay, this is who Josh Donaldson is. The problem as I see it for most people, and it's understandable, is it's not this is who Josh Donaldson is, this is who Josh Donaldson can be. You almost have to, for lack of a better description, you almost have to look at him as a young player, because you see glimpses of a guy and you wonder if that's who he is. The only difference is it's not because we don't know if he can do it consistently. We know he can. For him, it's health. And now you're getting into a whole nother thing that really, you can look at all the numbers in the world, and I don't know that it changes. It's not going to change too many people's opinion, because the numbers that are non-arguable are the amount of days he spent on the DL the last 2 years, quite frankly. I've pointed to the risk being there as far as needing to take it. Let me rephrase this. I think the Cardinals have to do it, and you don't have to look any further than August and September in 2017. I mean, his numbers in those 2 months are gaudy MVP-ish. So there's no doubt that when healthy, he can do this. If the Cardinals weren't in a position to have to take the risk, I would say don't take it. But I don't know that we are.
Yeah, I definitely think there's certainly risk. You know, there's risk with any free agent signing. But with this one, the upside, I mean, you got to think, Dexter Fowler could never stay healthy. Even when they signed him, he was never healthy. He wasn't healthy for the Cubs. He wasn't healthy for the Astros. He wasn't healthy for the Rockies. The guy never played more than 100, 125 games a year. So they've assumed risk, injury risk before. And now we see, I mean, Fowler still, you know, as he ages, he still can't get through a season. So you have to wonder, is this just a freak thing for Donaldson? Because before last year, he was as healthy as they come. He played four straight seasons of 155 games or more. So this is not like a chronic issue like it was for Fowler, where he's just on the DL all the time. This is more of a, you know, does he need surgery? Is this just he needed rest? You know, is it playing on the turf in Toronto? Is that what's causing it? You know, is there some underlying issue there? The other thing I look at is what a Josh Donaldson signing does to the vision of the team. Because, man, you are getting pretty old pretty fast if you have Donaldson, Carpenter, Dexter Fowler, and Yadier Molina as your everyday half of your lineup. I mean, you're getting to a point where you go, are they at a point where they're going to have to, you know, do a minor rebuild once these guys move on? Or, you know, what's the vision here? Because right now it feels like if you sign Donaldson, you've got a lot of 33-year-olds and a lot of 23-year-olds and not a whole lot in the middle. And I think that's part of where the Cardinals get in trouble sometimes, is there's not a 26-year-old Bryce Harper, anchoring the team. There's not a 28-year-old Albert Pujols anchoring the team anymore. You have all these young kids who are 23 and 24, and then you have these aging veterans that are 34 and 35, and no in between. And I think that's a vision issue, I believe.
Yeah, I know it's hard to manage, and I know you probably make plans for certain guys to do certain things, but, you know, if you look at the Cardinals, my assumption would be, and again, I'm assuming, my assumption would be is that they thought, okay, well, by this time, you know, we would have, and I know that DeJong moved to short out of necessity, not out of want, but if you look at it, you know, you're thinking, okay, well, you know, we got Harrison Bader in there. We've got Colton. But the Colton Wong is a guy that I'm pretty sure by now they would have thought would have been an anchor-type guy at second base. Like, I'm not necessarily saying he wasn't going to hit in the middle of the lineup, but I know they probably had hoped he'd have been a top-of-the-order hitter. And at times, he sure looks like he can do that. But I think overall, he's proven that with the way he takes his at-bats, I don't know that he can hit in the top of the order. That being said, I'm sure they thought by now he would have been an established player, so that would have helped. Tommy Pham, if you know, he's gone, but he was what he was. So I'm with you. I don't know, you know, the youth portion of this and how you roll your team. And see, now we're getting back to last week's thing, and that is, this is why Plan A makes so much sense, right? I mean, we're basically making another case for why. Okay, why you have to sign, you know, Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, which I know some people have soured on him, but whatever. So I don't know. That's my only issue with the Donaldson thing. Now, are you comfortable with approaching Donaldson as a gap player to some of these younger guys?
I mean, that's fine. You know, that's got to be the plan if they go after him. You know, the more we talk about, you know, we spent a couple of weeks on this, and the more we talk about it, and the more you look at some of the moves, what are you trading Tommy Pham for if you're going to sign Josh Donaldson this winter? Like, I don't understand the direction. I saw someone bring it up on Twitter. You know, you're trading Tommy Pham because you're going after Bryce Harper. Like, I think a lot of signs are really pointing at the Cardinals going after Bryce Harper. And I know we're talking about Josh Donaldson today, but you know, and it's a pipe dream to think of both, but why not both? Why? What are you doing that would cause you not to want to sign both? You know, if you're signing Donaldson to say a 3-year deal, he's only getting 3 years. I mean, this is a new age. This is a new market. 33-year-olds are not getting extended contracts. I don't even care if he's going into the American League. Some teams are going to want him to prove it. He's getting 3 years max, and if you backload a lot of Harper's contract, you know, I don't see why you couldn't make it work. And then you have a plan. Then you have a vision. You have an idea of what you're trying to do. You're signing a franchise player to play right field. And then you have your, what could be all-star for the next couple of years, supplanted at third base, you know, as a stopgap to your future players that you just drafted. You know, that's a plan. That's an idea. But, you know, letting the guy like Machado and Harper go and then falling back on Donaldson. And I love Donaldson. I wanted them to trade for him. I've always loved Josh Donaldson. I would be fine with them signing him. But what I just don't understand what the vision of the franchise is if you're trading Tommy Pham in July and signing Bryce Harper or signing Josh Donaldson at 33 years old in the winter. I don't know what you're doing at that point. What is the goal?
Are there any numbers behind the scenes under the sheets type numbers that you look at with Donaldson and say, there's no doubt he can still do this?
I guess, you know, I like to look a lot at walk and strikeout rate, especially on older players, to see if they're going in the wrong direction, because then you can see some deterioration and understand why their at bats are not what they used to be. You know, in 2017, he had a 22.4% strikeout rate. 2018, he's up to 24.7%. You know, it's not a huge sample size, but it's enough to go. His strikeout rate's climbing. But his walk rate is still at 14.2%. So, you know, he's still walking a lot. He's still getting on base. He had a 352 on base percentage this year, 117 weighted runs created. So you're talking about a guy, and even last year in an injury plagued season, he had a 151 weighted. I mean, this guy's still elite. He is, when he's on the field and his legs are right, he's as elite a hitter as they come. You know, it's just a matter of whether he can stay on the field. And I guess my other concern would be, is an American League team willing to make him their DH, and if he would be okay with that, you know, because that's, you know, unfortunately, these are the discussions you look at and go, this is where the National League has a disadvantage to the American League when it comes to free agency. There's just only so much a National League team can do and offer. Where, you know, the American League has the upper hand when it comes to aging players because they have that DH to offer a player, you know, to extend their career. So this is a situation where it's like, is an American League team going to be willing to take the risk and make him their DH or offer him part-time work at third base and DH the rest? You know, there's just a lot of flexibility that an American League team has that a National League team does not.
Yeah, that's my thing. It's a guy like Donaldson strike, and again, I don't know him, never have talked to him, but he strikes me as the kind of guy that would say, I want to play. I want to play third base. I'm a good third baseman. I want to play third. A lot of guys don't want a DH, but that being said, it's also nice to say, listen, if you do get a little achy, we can move you off of third, you know, get you in here and keep your bat in the lineup and allow you to heal. And then really, quite frankly, and we understand, and we know this, you know, it's a way to get a guy to sign too, because you can always change on the fly. I'm sure a team can go, oh no, we're committed to you at third base the whole while, going, look, it's real simple, we have a DH, if something happens we're fine. So that is an advantage for the American League. That's a great point.
Well, you look, I mean, that's exactly why the Cardinals lost Albert Pujols. I mean, you know, Pujols didn't go to the Marlins, he didn't go to the Cubs, you know. They couldn't offer him the years that an American League team could offer, knowing that they could just plug him in at DH for the last 5 years. You know, so you look back at that alone and say the American League has an upper hand when it comes to free agency, and I can't believe the players' union has yet to do anything about this, because it's and this is a whole other can of worms we could get into at another time, but there is a distinct advantage when it comes to aging hitters in the American League as opposed to the National League. Take a guy like Nelson Cruz, who's 38 years old and still performing at tip-top shape, but no National League team can sign him. He can't play the outfield anymore.
Yeah, well, David Ortiz, look no further. Well, hey, sounds to me like you're on board with Josh Donaldson as plan B.
Yeah, no, I definitely would be. I would just be curious as to what the vision is after that move. What's the ultimate goal?
Well, now that is a whole nother show. So you're on board, although it sounds to me like you quite frankly think he's the second part of part A. But for today's question, is Josh Donaldson a viable option for plan B? We've got one yay from Mo's algorithm. Tell our listeners where they can find you, pal.
On Facebook at MOZ algorithm and on Twitter at MOZ underscore algorithm.
Great stuff as always, my friend. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you, Jim.
All right, great stuff from Mo's. I knew he'd be on the JD bandwagon, as I've always liked JD. I know Mo's has as well, and I like to hear his reasonings and let him explain them out, and that's why we have the platform. Interested to hear the thoughts from this man on Mo's algorithm. Had to move him down in the order today. He hasn't been getting on base enough, but he's been swinging for power. So we moved him to more of a role where he might be able to drive in that leadoff guy. Let's welcome in everybody's favorite, Kyle Reese. What do you say, Kyle?
Hey, how are you, Jim?
Good. Had to move you down in the order today. Are you more of a number two hitter? I mean, you have been leading off.
Well, you know, I've got that power speed combo that TLR used to look for right in that two hole.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. So, interesting as we roll through today's topics of conversations. Obviously, we've covered plan A last week in grave detail. What's funny is that my conversation with Mo, as you will hear earlier, it no matter how far you get away from it, you always circle back to plan A, because who shouldn't want plan A, right? And as I mentioned earlier, plan B is really revolved around not getting the other, what you would call the for sure big guys. So my question to you is Josh Donaldson a viable plan B?
Yeah, I think he is personally. First off, the Cardinals need that upgrade. Just like we talked about with Manny Machado on the left side of the infield, they desperately need an upgrade on that side. You know, I love Jed Jerko. I love Yaromir Yunus. But without a guy like Josh Donaldson on that side, you're kind of hurting. And sure, he's not a left-handed bat, speaking of circling around to your number one option, which is Bryce Harper. But, you know, he's got a strong right-handed bat that supplies power, and we're not going to really find that anywhere else. So, yeah, if you can't get 1A, 1B, I'm all about that. The other thing I like about it is because of his injury history over the last couple of years, there's reason to believe that you might be able to get him for 3 years, and he's a little older. You know, some of these players that are his caliber at the age of 32, you're still talking about 4 or 5, maybe even 6 year deals at this point. Maybe you get lucky because of the injury history of the last couple of years, and you can get him for 2, which would be a miracle, but more than likely 3 years. And I hope that some team that doesn't win out on Manny Machado doesn't go crazy and offer him, you know, 5 years at 100 whatever, like a Ryan Howard contract or something like that. But to me, he is. There's other options that would make it really interesting. You know, I know a lot of people talk about Mike Moustakas as a potential plan B with an upgrade of the pitching staff and maybe a Kimbrel acquisition. That's a little that's contingent on a lot of moves happening this offseason. Something that I like, thinking the Cardinals are going to sign 3 big free agents is as crazy to me as thinking that they're going to sign 1 big free agent. It's like the only thing that might be crazier than the idea of them signing 1 big free agent. But to me, yes, I love the Josh Donaldson fallback if you can't sign Machado or Harper.
Mo's brought up something I thought that was interesting, and I know, you know, I always ask you to try to go back in time a little bit, put you in the DeLorean and go back in time. Mo's, you know, before the calf injury, Mo's, you know, pointed out that Harper was a pretty, like, reliable player. Now, this calf injury, that's a base type injury, which makes me nervous, quite frankly, because it's a nagging type injury. Do you sign that? Okay, so you go back in time and you look at him. I think what we know about Josh Donaldson is he was kind of late to the party. I think his story is pretty common. I happen to know his hitting coach, the guy that kind of changed him, just through the other stuff that I do with baseball, with teaching. You know, Bob Tewksbury, not the Bob Tewksbury that pitched for the Cardinals, by the way. You know, the story's pretty cool, right? And it changed who Josh Donaldson was. So he was a late-to-the-party guy. We're seeing more of these guys, by the way, guys that spend years learning the game and then can't do it, and then they go try something radical and they connect. And he's an example of that. There's other guys. Mac Muncy's this, you know, Chris Taylor was that story last year or the year before. Or last year, and now Muncy's kind of that guy this year. Josh Donaldson's that way. A lot of guys go through this. What did you see when you checked out Donaldson's past?
So the thing you need to know about me and Josh Donaldson is that I've always been a big fan of Josh Donaldson, and he has a very interesting story, and it's more than just baseball with him. And this might be one of those things where I rest on for a second, but when he was like 6 or 7 years old, his father was incarcerated for, I believe, 15 years for a drug and domestic violence case. And he was raised in a single-family household by his mother. But he was also raised by every baseball coach he had and uncles and other what he describes as other strong father figures. So he never felt the chance that he had of being a troubled youth never happened. That's why he plays with a bit of an edge. Now, sometimes that edge, when you're younger, turns into violence. It turns into the genetic strain that your parent passed down to you. But for him, that anger, that hostility, he takes out on baseball. Now, the other thing that's really interesting about him is, you know, he spent 3 years at Auburn. And his first year there, he played at third base. And then they turned him into a catcher because their catcher signed to play pro ball. He was an okay catcher at the collegiate level. He had a really strong arm, and the plan was always for him to go back to third base. But it didn't work out. Now, when the Cubs drafted him, he was a supplemental pick in the first round. I want to say either 48th or 49th overall, top 50 for sure. And he had, the minute he entered the Cubs organization, he got off to a good start to begin his career. But then he struggled that first half of his second year as a member of the Cubs organization. And Billy Beane wanted to draft him in the second round, was hoping that he followed either the second or third round to them the prior year, but he didn't. And the minute Donaldson fell apart and the Cubs went hard after Rich Harden, that was the target. And it was funny because at the time, the 4 people that went to that age were Rich Harden. Josh Donaldson was kind of the name that
no one really knew all that well, even from a first-round pick. But he was transitioning back from catch to third base, and he also said that once he got, and I know that he went over, you know, there was a big swing overhaul, but what he said for him is getting out from behind catcher changed the player that he could be. He always made solid contact, consistent solid contact. And the big move for him, he's always had an aggressive swing. Like he's like Jose Martinez in the box, right? His body's constantly moving and constantly moving. He has a lot of moving parts. But for him, the big change is he incorporated that big leg kick that he has that Benji Molina hates so much. He never really had that. He had a step time mechanism, and of course, as he really started to progress, once he got to the major leagues, he really started introducing a bit of that hit the ball angle that the ball is coming at you approach. And those were like the two big changes for him. To switch from being catcher, going to third base where he was natural and athletic and all of his skills could play and not have to worry about calling a game, to be like a third baseman where he's natural and fluid. And then also embracing some of these mechanical things that really helped him. He's a really interesting guy and a really interesting story who's really passionate about baseball. And, man, I could hear him talk about baseball all day. He's the kind of guy that, we don't realize it now, but he's the kind of guy who, when his career is over, he'll probably be in a booth somewhere, and he'll probably be really entertaining. He'll probably be like Brad Thompson, but with a lot more knowledge of the game. But a little bit, he's kind of off color. He'll say some crazy stuff, like he'll catch you off guard. And beyond that, he's just supremely talented. I am worried about the nagging injury, but if you can get him on a short term, I think you take that chance. I heard somebody against the idea, like somebody was bashing when the Cardinals traded for Troy Gloss, traded Scott Rolen for Troy Gloss. Everyone forgets that first year that the Cardinals had Troy Gloss, he was incredible. He was lights out. He was an anchor in the middle of the lineup. And that second year, he was hurt. But if you can get me 1 to 2 years of a 3-year contract where he's healthy and performing how he did down the stretch for Cleveland, which was very good, then that's money in the bank, even at $20 million a year.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, so a couple things that I look at. You're right. The person I enjoy, I think he's fun, no doubt about it. If you listen to him talk, and what he does is he doesn't care. Like, he doesn't care what the establishment wants you to believe. He's going to tell you what's really going on. That's why I like him. Like, he's the guy that when – and I love it. I actually like A-Rod in the booth. I think A-Rod actually does a good job on Sunday Night Baseball. But A-Rod's one of those guys that gets on the MLB Network channel and tells you how he used to swing down and how you have to come down. And Chipper Jones does it, and none of them ever did it, not one time in a game.
Yeah.
Go video the swing. Josh Donaldson calls him out and says, listen, nobody does that. You don't do that. You never did that. And I've had this conversation with people before. Launch angle is the new term, but people have always had launch angle, okay? But now they incorporate it in how they get better, right? So very simply put, I like his – attitude. I compare him a lot, and I brought up Trevor Bauer on Monday's show. He's a great follow on Twitter, Trevor Bauer is. I mean, about a guy that won't hold back, and I think he's going to upset the apple cart here before this is all over with the spin rate and how guys are getting it. And that's maybe he will, maybe he won't, but he sure seems hell-bent on making sure people know that the pine tar and the rosin that gets sticky and there's other things going on is how some of these guys are going places. And all of a sudden, they're striking out 10, 11 guys a game when they've struck out 4 or 5 their whole career.
Yeah.
So he's letting people know what's going on because, I, quite frankly, like a PED guy that didn't use them, he probably feels like, I'd like to be able to do that too, but I'm not going to. Okay? I'm not going to do it and then say, well, everybody else did it. It's no different.
Yeah.
And that's how he looks at it. So I like him. That's why I kind of like Donaldson. He will upset the apple cart. He'll go against the establishment and say, you can talk about this all you want, but this isn't what's really going on. So,
yeah, the other thing about Donaldson too, because of that, like part of me wonders if the Cardinals would be apprehensive about bringing him in if there is any truth to the fact that part of the reason they moved Tommy Pham at the All-Star break was because of his perceived like bluntness. And I was one of the things I wondered as September came from August 31st to September 1st.
I wondered if part of the reason the Cardinals didn't put in a waiver claim for Josh Donaldson is because he's a little bit more outspoken and might have been afraid about how that would affect chemistry or whatever nonsensical thing. But, of course, that's speculation. But, that's the one area where I'm at right now where I wonder, all right, would he even be, like, is he the kind of personality that Mo would go after at this point? And, you know, other than when he had his back against the wall for A.J. Pierzynski, I can't think of anyone else that he would do that with. So, you know, I'm all about Donaldson, but I think that could be an interesting little sub storyline.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a different kind, though. Like, it's not a.
Yeah.
I don't find it disrespectful. I find it just honest. I don't know him to be a bad teammate. I don't know. And you know, and people say, well, are you saying Tommy Pham was a bad teammate? I'm not saying that. There's a lot of stuff going on there. And listen, you don't need me to tell you. You can just go YouTube it. But,
yeah.
But the things that matter to me, and there's two parts to this, and I think it's real simple. Number one, go right to the numbers, okay? You don't have to go any further. It's not that hard, okay? And these are the numbers that matter when it comes to the St. Louis Cardinals and what they don't have. And I'm going to give it to you. 2013, fourth place in the MVP. 2014, eighth place in the MVP. 2015, first place MVP. 2016, fourth place MVP. 2017, even with the interesting 20, he's in the MVP conversation. Now he finished 22nd.
Yeah.
Okay. So my point is, if he can get the games in, it's proven he's an MVP caliber player. So type player. Okay. Now flip it and be realistic. The injury is real. You can't get around it. For me, yes, a nagging injury bothers me. It's not like a broken bone or something that's tore that you go have surgery and rehabilitate. This is, I don't, can you have surgery on a torn calf? I guess maybe you could. I don't know. But it's in the base area, right? It bothers me. It makes me nervous. I would think there's got to be a reason why this thing has went on with him for the better part of a year and a half, to be quite frank. So the final thing for me, and I said this to Mose, I think the Cardinals, it's a risk, but I think it's one they're going to have to take if they don't want to go with plan A. I'll let you hear what Mose said his thoughts were, but I got to get your answer before I let you go. Is Josh Donaldson a good plan B for the Cardinals?
Yeah, and, you know, just to kind of show you where my mind at is with finances, last year the Cardinals paid Adam Wainwright $19.5 million. And I'm fine with 110 games or 120 games of Josh Donaldson-like production at the same price, around the same price, you know, a $3 million margin of error for Josh Donaldson to play third base because he's a very, very good third baseman and anchor the middle of a lineup.
You want to guess? My call was, I said wherever he signs, he's a three-year, $60 million I even went as high as $80 million, depending on if somebody really wants to say, hey, listen, we're willing to go more because it's a shorter term, but we need you. So I said 60 on the low end, 80 on the high. You care to venture a guess?
So that seems to be the industry standard. I've seen like Heyman and Morosi, Rosenthal too. I think all three, like all of the experts, if you will, they've all been like 3 years, 60 mil, 3 years, 60 mil. The most important thing for me is that they do whatever it takes to get a three-year deal out of him. I'm not tempting that fourth year, even if it means that the term, the AAV is smaller. 3 years. You hold your line at 3 years, and you can always revisit it later. But if that means, just like you said, if that means I have to give him, I have to, like I have any say, but that means if I give him, I'd even be willing to give him almost 90 for 3 years. If that's what it's going to take to keep him in 3 years, then I'd rather give him three at 90 than four at 80, and I know that that's probably crazy, but the Cardinals have the money to do it. I would do whatever it took to get him for 3 years without spending just a gajibus amount of money.
All right, my friend. Plan on taking a look this week at some of the free agent relievers in that are available on the market and pick out a couple of targets and give them to me next week. Sound good?
I can't wait, but I'm going to warn you too ahead of time that you're going to probably have the same conversation with me and Mose next week about the relieving cords. You're going to have a lot of fun with that.
Well, that's why we're doing the show. Tell our listeners where they can follow you.
You can follow me on Twitter at KYLER416. I do my show Prospects After Dark. It'll be a Thursday again, 8:30 Central Time. You can view that through Twitter or through Periscope. And I write for Birds on the Black, and I'm just starting my preliminary research. We're going to do the five best players at each position in the Cardinals organization, and that should be coming out within the next month or so. We'll start with starting pitchers, then move to the outfielders, and do position by position throughout the system.
Great stuff as always, my man. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir.
All right. That is our man. That is the man, Kyle Reese. He never disappoints. That's two yays for Josh Donaldson as Plan B. Let's take it on over now to my good friend, Brendan Schaefer. What's going on, Brendan?
Not a whole lot. How are we doing today?
Well, we've had some spirited conversations today with our boys. It's a Josh Donaldson Plan B kind of day. You know, it's funny. I've known Mo's long enough to have a good feel for where he was going to be on this subject. I've gotten to know Kyle and had a good feel for where I thought he was going to go on this subject. But you, my friend, I've got to ask the question. Your thoughts on Josh Donaldson as Plan B for the Cardinals?
Well, I think realistically, we've talked about in the last couple of weeks that neither of us really are anticipating the Cardinals to go full in for either of the two big names in Bryce Harper or Manny Machado this offseason. It would be great. We both would love it. We've talked about the need for a guy like that on the Cardinals and how this is the offseason to do it because there's two of them sitting out there in the free agent pool. But again, it would surprise me to see that be the case. And so you have to look realistically beyond that. And what's interesting about Donaldson is while he kind of fits in with the Plan B kind of backup, top flight moves that the Cardinals have made in recent off seasons, like Dexter Fowler, Mike Leake, like some of those fallback options that were in the $80 million range, he kind of fits into that category, but he would be at the very tip top of it because of the fact that he's got a history as a most valuable player. He's been at the pinnacle of the sport, whereas some of those other guys, the Cardinals were just kind of getting some average to above average players that they were hoping could sustain that for a few years. With Donaldson, I think there's an upside beyond what we've seen the Cardinals sign in the past. The question is going to boil down to the money and how many years it's going to take. I really am not sure what that's going to look like because, of course, a former MVP is a guy like Josh Donaldson that you expected to get maybe in the neighborhood of $200 million if he had, for the last couple of years, continued to play, continued to be healthy, and continued to produce. But that hasn't been the case for him. Injuries have kind of mounted for him, and he lost most of the 2018 season. But what's interesting is at the very end, right, he comes back with the Indians and looks pretty good. He got some good numbers that he put up in September. And so how much does that go toward a team, maybe the Cardinals, maybe somebody else, deciding that he's the answer to their offensive woes and he's worth X amount of dollars? I think he'd be a good answer for the Cardinals. He'd be one that wouldn't surprise me the way a Machado or a Harper would. But I think, you know, say the Cardinals do sign him, the day that takes place, my kind of semblance of whether or not it's a good move is going to come down to waiting for that contract to be announced. Because if we're talking, you know, years beyond what we think a 32, 33-year-old Josh Donaldson is worth, I could see fans being almost disappointed if Donaldson is signed because it's going to depend on that contract. If he gets close to what those other guys got, it's not going to be worth it to not go ahead and sign a Harper or Machado. But if it's kind of a pillow deal or a lower contract, and maybe we would have anticipated Donaldson receiving a year ago at this time, I think he could be a great option.
Yeah, I look at this in two ways. So I first and foremost have in my mind an image of Mo and his team sitting around and basically going, okay, and I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I know a lot of people are like, you're wasting your time. They're never, like, they have no zero intention of signing Harper Machado. Jim, you're wasting your time. That's fine. But in my mind, I'm picturing them sitting at a table going, okay, boys, I need to justify going to Mr. DeWitt and asking him for a $400 million line of credit to go out. And obviously, I'm going to try to get him cheaper, but I just want to get it approved to go to this number to get it done. So now, and Mr. DeWitt has approved it, But now, guys, you got to explain to me why I would give either of these guys $400 million when I realistically can probably convince Mr. Donaldson to come here for 3 years and give him $70 million. That's basically $330 million difference. And I think we can accomplish what we need by doing that. It's not as big. It's not as flashy. But in the end, I think it makes us better. So that's one thing that I have. I think when guys so the conversation then starts, and this is where I think it goes, so I'll ask you this question. I think somebody smart in the room looks at him and says, okay, but the real question is, are we still going to be good enough if we get, let's say, 90 to 120 games from Josh Donaldson? And are you okay giving him $70 million if he only plays somewhere between 90 and 120 games? And I think Mo will have to answer that question. So I'm asking you that question. If they signed Josh Donaldson and he played somewhere between 90 and 120 games for the Cardinals, would you be okay with that?
Well, I would say if it's 90 to 120 over the course of 3 years, so you like that being the average, and it's a 3-year deal for $70 million, I think I'm okay with that, because what that probably means is, you know, for two of those years he plays mostly a complete season, and maybe in one of those years he misses 80 to 100 games, something like that. I think I could live with that, but my caveat's going to be this, and it's going to take me back to last offseason. When the Cardinals traded for Marcell Ozuna, my initial reaction after seeing what they gave up to get him, because my concern when it was, you know, when we thought at the time maybe they could wait on Yelich or they could get Ozuna, you know, the Stanton thing had just kind of collapsed. At the time, I said if the Cardinals make this deal for Ozuna, you look what they gave up, not really a whole lot in the way of prospects, not a lot of those premium names that fans were concerned about potentially trading away, like a Jack Flaherty or an Alex Reyes. Sandy Alcantara was really the only player in that deal that you could end up missing from a top prospect standpoint at the time, and he's had good play since. I said, though, the Cardinals have got to do something else. They've got to make an additional move, because they were able to pry away in Ozuna for a reasonable cost. He's an upside guy that could potentially give you the 30 home runs like he did in Miami the last season. You've got him for 2 years. That's not a bad move on its own, because you didn't give up a lot to get him. Do I think he's going to be that same guy that's driving in 120 runs? No, I don't. But again, the upside is there, and it was a minimal acquisition cost. But that means you can do something else. You can pay for a player in free agency, or you can make another trade for a real big hitter. So that now you've got two upgrades in your lineup, and then I think that would have been enough to make the playoffs. The problem was the Cardinals didn't do that. They didn't make that second move to allocate actual resources to improve the team. They kind of hung their hat on the Ozuna deal. They hung their hat on some of the free agent pitching moves like Bud Norris and Miles Michaelis that were kind of lower cost moves at the same time that tended to pan out for them throughout most of the season. And they hung their hat on the bullpen, making a couple of trades, jettisoning some guys like Randall Grichuk to get a Leon. Some moves like that they thought would pan out. Overall, those moves were okay, but again, it wasn't enough to get the Cardinals over the hump. And so bringing it back to this coming off season with a Josh Donaldson, I'm glad you came up with the number of 370, because I have no idea what it might cost, and I'm glad you kind of put out the starting point there so I don't have to. If it's 370, I like that. I think that's reasonable. I almost expect Josh Donaldson to want a fourth year. As we talked about last week, he's entering his age 33 season next year. He's going to be trying to get as much term as he can on a contract, because it might be the last big one that he gets. But if it is 370, I'm good with that. But I also look at it the same way I did Ozuna and think, okay, what else are you going to do? Because I still see a potential hole out there in right field. Do you trust Tyler O'Neill to man that spot for a majority of a season? Do you trust Dexter Fowler to have a bounce back? I don't know that I trust either of those things, to the extent that if you've only spent $70 million on a Josh Donaldson, that you can just say, yeah, we're done. We're good with the way things look. Maybe they address pitching in a major way with like a Patrick Corbin or a trade of some sort, even though you look at the starting pitching depth and say they've got a lot of names there. I feel comfortable if guys stay healthy. But I think you need a secondary move akin to a Josh Donaldson if that's going to be your move. I don't want that to be the one big move. But again, on its own, I think it works. But, you know, I said that about Ozuna last year, and they kind of disappointed me after that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the follow-up move, because, again, we're looking at a team that has more than one need. We're not looking at this team going, all we need is this, right? We're not dumb. We know. Now, the catch on this whole thing is the young pitching. You know, we know what we saw, so there's cause for optimism, right? Like, you can sit here and go, like, I guess if you were to ask me, Jim, I'm going to give you two scenarios here. They're going to sign Donaldson, and they're going to sign a bullpen arm. Or you can have Harper, and they sign nobody. I would go with Harper. I would take my chances that the young pitching continues to get better. Now, on the flip side, the issue is, keep in mind, and I think we all have to be realistic about this, although I will say it, and I don't like being right about this, I never thought much of Luke Weaver. I don't mean that he wasn't any good. I didn't look at him. I didn't think he was who we saw for that stretch. I thought he's a guy that pitched really well, but I wasn't on board with him. That doesn't make me a genius. I've been wrong about guys the other way, too. There was just something about him that I thought, I don't see a top-end starter here. And everybody was like, we got Luke Weaver. Right? So I caution my own self on the young pitching. Like, you know, it would be real easy to go, well, why? Yeah. I mean, we've got Gomber, Ponce de Leon, Dakota Hudson, Jordan Hicks. The numbers would tell us that there's going to be regression for a certain number of players. It's all teams have it, right? So it's a hard thing for me to decide, but the Josh Donaldson thing, along with some proven bullpen help, that might make you feel warm and fuzzy, but I think we've talked at length on our show. I know you've probably caught it a couple times. Look at Colorado. They spent a buttload on some bullpen guys, and, man, I don't know if they feel like they got their money's worth or not. There's a lot of most of the guys last year that everybody wanted did not pitch well this year. Addison Reed was not great. Juan Nicasio was abysmal. Brian Shaw was borderline awful. Everybody wants Zach Britton, and he wasn't that great when he come back. He did go through a good stretch where it looks like maybe he's getting it back. I don't know, man. Alexei Colome, that everybody wanted from Tampa, not great. Good, not great. That's a volatile market.
I think Colome had the season the Cardinals expected him to have, to be honest, when they said, yeah, we're not really looking at him as a closer option. Maybe we can get him on the cheap for a setup guy or something like that, but when that was said by the Cardinals, and I believe it was reported around the time, people were like, well, why? I mean, he has all these saves. But I think you got to give credit to the Cardinals on that one. They might have saw in Colome maybe what some of the fans who were hoping he would be a trade target last year did not see.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. And for me, it's like, oh, man, what do you do here? I'm going to maintain that I'm with you. I think you and I are in lockstep on this. So I will say that my opinion is Josh Donaldson is definitely a plan B candidate. I say that with the intention that, yes, he's a plan B as long as he's not it. So I think if you do Donaldson, I think then you have to go and say, all right, so now we got a guy. We're going to really bank on him being that number three hitter that we've been lacking. And our doctors tell us that if we do this, maybe we can count on it. But the main thing we're going to do is we're going to go get a couple bullpen guys. We're going to get a right-handed guy that we can count on, and we're going to get a left-hander. That being said, I think the right-hander has to be a guy, and I'm just going to throw out a name this week, although next week I'm going to ask you to come back with some bullpen targets. But if you're looking at it for me right out of the gate, the guy likes Robertson from the Yankees. And the reason I like him is because he's both closed and set up. And I think the Cardinals have to go into next year with a guy that's done both. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think he's an interesting name. But I would almost say if we're going to go the route with Donaldson as the plan B, well, you know, whatever reason, they just couldn't land Harper Machado. They weren't willing to afford him. Any of the variety of things that we kind of expect to be the reasons that they don't get him, either of those guys. Say they get Donaldson, and I think it's interesting you bring up that our medical staff says this, and that's always been a treat in the past.
Yeah.
With the Cardinals medical staff. But, you know, that aside, assuming that we're good with the Donaldson thing and we think he can give the Cardinals over 3 or 4 years, whatever it might be, a worthwhile return on their investment. We're talking secondary moves. I almost would be inclined to prefer a starting pitcher to a reliever. And I know the bullpen is not where it needs to be, and they're going to have to address it in some way or another. But they might be better served, unless they really think they've got that one guy out there in the market, like a Robertson, and they're convinced he's the guy and he's going to be able to help them in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning where they're going to desperately need some help. Unless they've got that guy and they are just thoroughly convinced it's the one guy and they've landed him, they've convinced him to come here, that's great. Otherwise, I would say bolster the starting pitching, because I'd rather spend significant capital on a starter than I would a reliever, because I feel like the relief market's going to be a little more fickle. We weren't thrilled about the Bud Norris signing when it happened, but looking back, he gave the Cardinals value for that $3 million or whatever it was. And so I wouldn't necessarily mind some signings like that, you know, some tertiary signings, maybe for the $3 to $4 million range. You get a couple of guys like that that maybe you're given a chance to. If you sign a Patrick Corbin and then, or, you know, name your mid-level starting pitcher that could give you some good depth that's going to cost you in the, I don't know, $50 to $60, $70 million range. Long-term, it doesn't look like the Cardinals need that. But again, we weren't talking about Daniel Ponce de Leon and Austin Gomber and John Gant at the start of the 2018 season. Like, those were not the names that we were looking at. Those guys were down maybe 8, 9, and 10th on the depth chart. When you just look at what happened to the Cardinals starting rotation this past year, it's really a miracle that those guys kind of came in and did what they did to kind of keep things afloat up until the very bitter end. Because Carlos Martinez was your ace. He ended up in your bullpen. Michael Wacha had injury issues. Wainwright missed most of the season. Alex Reyes pitched only one game. I could probably go on. I almost prefer, if you're going to spend money, you know, rather than maybe a $30 million on another Brett Cecil and it flops, give me a starting pitcher that's in his mid to upper 20s, early 30s that you think can give you 3 or 4 years of good baseball, and roll your dice a little bit more on the relief market, because I expect no less than 3 starting pitchers to go down every year. And like you said, I don't know that I can count on Gant, Ponce de Leon, and Gomber to give you what they gave last year, because the regression might be coming. So that's kind of where I stand on it. A starter over a reliever, if you go with Donaldson. I maybe next week I'll have some names for you besides the one I keep going back to in Corbin, because he, you know, maybe he's beyond the Cardinals' cost in what they're looking to spend if they've already spent on Donaldson. That's kind of the way I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, I think you and I are in agreement on there. The only thing, I'm willing to pay for a guy that's closed. That's my difference. I'm never giving a Brett Cecil-ish type guy that kind of money and that kind of – I'm not doing it. I will give that contract to a guy that's closed and proven that he can close. The other guy that I liked, which this is going to be another conversation, so you can start thinking about – it'll come up next week. The guy that I really felt would be an interesting signing was Familia, but I forgot about the domestic violence thing. I don't know where we go with that kind of stuff. I mean, we, you know, the whole town's ready to not embrace Manny Machado if they sign him because he kicked kicked a guy at first base for, I'm sure, yeah. again, another underlying reason, but whatever. So,
although I will say, I think fans, from what I've seen on Twitter, are more up in arms about his comments about he's not a hustle guy than the dirty play at first base. Because I think, you know, you've seen Cardinals make hard slides into second and different things like that and have little issues. I'm not trying to say that the Cardinals were doing anything dirty or not, but obviously the Machado play at first was pretty clearly a cruddy play. But I think fans in St. Louis are almost more up in arms about the idea that he says, nah, I'm not a hustle guy, and I'm never going to be, so just, you know, deal with it.
Well,
I don't know what you think about that. That's kind of the way I look at it.
Here's what I'll say. I've been following your stuff for a long time. I think you're a pretty smart guy. I think you can call a spade, why not, right? But the truth of the matter is, I find that to be a little bit of trolling, because as I said that one night, you know, I've seen him hustle a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? I think what he was saying was, no, I'm not going to run like an idiot down to first base on a two hopper to short that I know I'm out on. I'm not going to do it. And I've heard other guys give the explanation that that's just not who I am. Okay. I'm not. And I'll be quite frank and say that we've had plenty of guys in St. Louis that have not ran to first base like Harrison Bader, and fans
absolutely
have loved him.
Absolutely.
And fans have loved
him. One of them's your franchise catcher, and he hasn't run to first base in years.
Yeah, so, and one of them's the best player you've probably ever seen play and is now in L.A.
Yeah.
And we can go on. And, you know, Jim Edmonds didn't hustle down to first base.
No.
Scott Rolen, you know, Scott Rolen would hustle as much as he could. But, again, that's where we're at, right? I think that's what he meant. Now, I'm not going
to – right.
I'm not going to claim to be in his head.
I think, though, you got to admit, though, there's a contingent of Cardinals fans who, when you say something like, I'm not Mr. Hustle, I'm not that guy, that there's a contingent of fans who are going to hear that quote and have an issue with it.
I don't think
you or I have a big issue with it. I don't know how – you know, you asked the question last week, how much the organization would care about that in a pursuit of him. Probably not a lot. I just think it's a fun thing that we can talk about for fan fodder. Beyond that, I agree with you. You know, it's better than making up some lie that we're going to see right through. Neither of us really had an issue with that.
I think I agree. I think you and I are together on that because, I mean, let's really look at it from the surface. He's hustled plenty. I think what he's done to himself, and I don't make excuses for players, and when they do things, they open up their own can of worms. What he does there is he opens himself up to where, no matter where he goes, by saying things like that, by doing some things, what you do is you really open yourself up to what I would call early criticism. I think if a guy who's a really good player signs and he comes in and they're everybody's excited and everybody's on board, if things don't exactly go well at times, you know, you support him. But when a guy comes in and you give him all this money and, you know, you were kind of like, well, he said he doesn't hustle and he's done some really weird things. And, boy, if things don't start good, I tell you what, you may never get – I guess it goes to the whole you don't really get two chances to make a first impression. You know, you only get one chance. And when you sign a guy and you give him a whole bunch of money and you sit there and go, we just gave $400 million to a guy that says he doesn't like to hustle. You really open yourself up as the player – to criticism a lot easier than a guy. People are going to be hard pressed to, now they can talk about him if he slumps or do whatever. People are going to be hard pressed to complain about Harrison Bader because he gives you everything he's got. And let's face it, we like that. Who doesn't like that, right?
Yeah, that's definitely the case. And I think it's, in Machado's case, something maybe a PR guy would tell him to, maybe you should have done that a little bit differently, but
his agent wasn't happy.
Right. Yeah. So there's that element of it. And, you know, unless if he signs with the Yankees or the Mets and goes to the New York media market, that's certainly going to be something that gets a lot of play. And it'll get some play from the fans, like you said, wherever he goes, if he gets off to a slow start in his new location, for sure.
Well, I appreciate you. I guess in the end, I have to ask the panel, so I'll ask you the question officially. Is Josh Donaldson a good option for Plan B?
Yeah, I think he's the best Plan B that you might find, because in other off seasons, there wasn't a Josh Donaldson for the Plan B. You know what I mean? I think Josh Donaldson has a higher percentage of doing better in 2019 than Marcelo Ozuna did in 2018. Now, Marcelo Ozuna could improve on those numbers in a contract year, but I like him as a Plan B, especially because of what I think it can allow the Cardinals to do outside of just signing him. I think it can leave them with enough capital and prospects and money to do what they need to do beyond that. They didn't make that secondary move last year after Ozuna. I think that they're going to have to do it this year because they kind of recognize that things are turning the wrong way with fan interest, with attendance, with the fact that they've missed the playoffs 3 years in a row. And they're not far off. You know, they won 88 games. I feel like before the season, I predicted them to win 88 games and said that would be enough for a wild card. But as the season developed, it obviously was not. And so we'd have to kind of change our expectations on the fly a little bit and say, okay, look, this team is right in the thick of things with a few weeks to go. And, you know, they're looking like a team that could win 92, that should win 92 and give themselves a chance to make the playoffs. And they didn't do that. And so I would be disappointed even more so than I was last year if Mozeliak and company don't make at least a Donaldson move and then some. And, you know, it remains to be seen how they're going to tackle it. But yeah, I'm gonna go on record saying I think for under $100 million, Josh Donaldson's a reasonable signing for the Cardinals.
All right, my friend, I'm going to let you get out of here and tell our listeners where they can follow you. But keep in mind that next week I'll be asking you to identify a couple relievers, and I know you've kind of already stated that you'd go a different route. But if the Cardinals did want to attack the bullpen, I'm going to ask you to identify a couple of guys that you find intriguing. You can go either way. You can say, I think this guy's who everybody will be all over, but I don't like him, or I think this is a definite fit for the Cardinals. So you can think about that over the week. But before you go, tell our listeners how they can follow you.
Certainly, as always, it's at bschafer12 on Twitter, bschafer12. You can find me on Twitter there, get in with all the polls and what have you, and my work writing about the Cardinals and Blues at kmov.com.
Great stuff as always, my friend. I'll chat with you next week.
All right, later.
All right, that's Brendan Schaefer. Again, just really enjoy the conversation and the back and forth. He's got a great fresh take on the Cardinals, and it's always nice to be able to bounce stuff off of people. I've probably been surprised at the amount of stuff that he and I agree on. I was really hoping that we would agree less so that we could have some spirited discussions on the back and forth, but we tend to be agreeing a little too much. But that's fine. He really, really does a good job, and I appreciate all of his comments and how he goes about it. So it is a lot of fun. Going to go ahead and say that it was unanimous that Josh Donaldson is a great plan B. I know the guys today look at it a little bit more pragmatically than I do. I look at it in the terms of I don't know that we have a choice not to do it. I know people say, well, you always have a choice. For me, it's more of a risk that we have to take. We have to change the culture around here. We've got this scared, I'm not saying everybody, but what I see on social media is we have this scared, it's too risky. I don't want to spend all that money on a Harper or Machado. I don't want to sign Donaldson. It's risky. Well, know this. All players are risky, okay? All players are risky. If you look at it, you could sign. What's more logical? How was I going to put this? Okay, it's all risky, right? But you got to kind of weigh your risk. Okay, what's more risky? What's riskier would be the better phrasing, I guess. What's riskier, right? So signing a Machado or a Harper to $400 million and sitting on that contract for 10 years, obviously it's risky, right? Or signing Donaldson to a three-year contract and hoping that you get 125 games out of him a year. What's riskier? Well, they both have a certain amount of risk. There is some feeling of certainty to just using your educated mind and looking at backgrounds of players. So what's interesting to me is if I look at the background of a Machado or a Harper, I have a pretty good idea what I think I'm going to get, and it's pretty good. But people don't feel like you can do that. They want to start going, well, look at how he did this. Well, no, look at his overall body of work. And then on the flip side, you take Donaldson, and I look at it, and now I start having to say things like, well, I look back, and here's the red flag. You know, in 2017, which basically now we're almost removed a year, you know, a year plus, right? Well, for that 2 months, he was MVP-ish, just like he had been, right? And then you go to this year, and we look at all the games we lost, and it's a continuing nagging issue. So if you're going to look at history, what would history tell you? If you're going to look at those two guys and say, well, the history would tell me that these guys are going to come in here and they're going to perform and they're going to be, while you can argue that no player is worth $40 million a year because, you know, well, we have teachers and firemen that don't make, I get that. We need to not have that argument anymore because it's unrealistic. That's a personal opinion argument that isn't ever going to change whether or not a guy gets paid in baseball, just like an actor. So that's silly. Don't say the player's not worth it. They're worth whatever they can get. Don't ever forget that, just like you. You and me. If some other podcasting network calls up and says, we want two birds on a bat and we know this is what you guys are getting from Lineup Media, but you know, we know that the show's doing really well, you know, we want it here, so we're willing to give you this. That's how it works. That's how the whole world works. If you work for a company driving a truck and you make $50,000 a year and another company comes along and says, we think you're the best truck driver, we're going to give you $75,000 a year. I don't understand the problem, okay? So take a look at the what we do know, and what we do know is that really basically for the better part of 2 years, Josh Donaldson's been hurt. So if you sign him with the expectation he's going to come here and not be hurt, then you're a fool. And all that said, I still think that if they don't sign the big two, one of the big two, look, I think the Cardinals have really backed themselves into a corner. I think they have to sign Donaldson. Or, now, he's right now the only guy we have on the table is option B. I think they're going to have to do one of the other options that we may talk about, and we'll get into those more in the offseason. But I think they put themselves in a situation where they have to do something. And what we do know about Josh Donaldson versus some of the trades are he's right there for you to go get. We will cover the trades, but I want to caution everybody in understanding this. I don't look at trades the same way other people do. Number one, you got to find a willing trade partner. Number two, you got to come together with a package. Number three, if a guy is that good and he's available for trade, okay, I promise you that other organizations are in on that as well. But the issue to me becomes when you start trading for a guy, if he's good enough that he's that impactful, now you're starting to rob Peter to pay Paul. A lot of the guys that people are mentioning, and I'll believe they trade Arenado when I see it. Just because he said he was tired of losing, now everybody's already got him out at Colorado. I'm sure the Rockies are going to go, hey, hang on a second. Okay, wait a minute. This is our franchise third baseman. Okay, if we decide that we're not going to sign him and we want to trade him, go ahead and start lining up your best top young players. Okay, so I've said that since day one. Think about that. How are you going to justify trading? The other day, and everybody's on his ass about it. Steve-O's ready to trade Flaherty and Jordan Hicks for Adrelton Simmons. Are you going to trade these young guys that you're getting ready to build your pitching staff around for Arenado or Goldschmidt? The hypothetical was put out there. Would you have given all those guys? Because, as I said, quit saying we should have got Yelich instead of Ozuna. It wasn't Alcantara and Sierra for Yelich. It would have been Flaherty, Hicks, Sierra. Now, everybody can say, well, look, Sierra didn't work out. After a year earlier, mind you, everybody pissed off that the guy didn't play every day. Okay, but now all of a sudden he's a throwaway prospect. But it would have cost you those two guys. Just take a look. You don't have to look any further. That's what Milwaukee gave up in terms of prospect numbers. And to be quite frank, the top prospect they gave in that draft was ranked ahead of all those guys in the total rankings. Way ahead, to be quite frank, again. So, let's be realistic about trades. This is not 20 years ago where you traded guys that meant nothing for Mark McGwire. So, and as I've said, we're going to have to get back to that point because this is crazy. We need help. We need real help. So I think the panel today told you that it's Josh Donaldson as plan B. I will preface it as saying it's Josh Donaldson plus for all of you that are going, well, we need more than just Josh Donaldson then. You're right. We do. I think if they go the route of Josh Donaldson, it'll be for one of two reasons. They couldn't sign the other two or they didn't want to spend that kind of money. And if they don't want to spend that kind of money, they should have plenty of money left over to address some other needs if they sign Josh Donaldson based on their past budgeting. Plenty of money to sign Donaldson and fix your bullpen, or I'll even go with Brendan's idea of maybe getting additional starter, going that route, whatever. Either way, I think it's a plan. I want to thank you guys for joining us this week for Bow Ties and Bullshit. You heard me mention one of our partners earlier in GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. I don't want to leave out Adam's Smokehouse as they bring you these segments as well. Located on Watson Road. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays open till 7 o'clock. It's not just for lunch anymore. They're also delivering. You can get on. Call Adam Smokehouse. Find out if where you live is in their delivery area. I don't have a map in front of me. My guess would be that it's vicinity, closer to the restaurant. It's something I know they're trying and they're trying to build and see if it's worth doing. Give them a call. They may be able to deliver it to you. Don't forget catering. Lots of people out there using Adam Smokehouse for their events. rave reviews about it. If I was going to show up at a golf tournament or a conference and they had Adam Smokehouse, I'd be thrilled. So get over to Adam Smokehouse on Watson Road. Tell our man Mike we said hello here from Two Birds on a Bat. Want to thank everybody at lineupmedia.fm for their continued support. Yo Radio is downloadable. It is free. It's on your mobile app store. The new version's out. It's sleek. It's awesome. It's easy to use. The content is amazing. And again, it's in your mobile app store, so you have to download it there. They'd love you to leave a review as it helps them. You just know that they're on the right path with Yo Radio. Tremendous streaming platform, so make sure you check it out. To all of our social media partners out there, thank you for your continued support. We've had an amazing reception in some of these great groups out there. You hear me talk all the time about Chris Lawless over at Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7. He's got an amazing crew with Gino and Crash and Ron, and there's just more and more and more guys flocking over there. They've got a large podcast network they're growing. They've got writers. They're really turning it into something special, and I'm happy for those guys. They do a tremendous job. Nate McHenry, RallySquirrel.com. He's been with us for so long. The Rally Squirrel Club, the Facebook page. It's all some of the best stuff you're going to find. And, again, just a guy that loves Cardinal baseball and does it right. That's RallySquirrel.com. Don't forget Mick Light at Art City Media. It means a lot to us when he gets involved and shares our stuff. There's so many people out there that are involved with Art City Media, and it's wonderful. Facebook group. Cardinal Freak, always sharing our stuff. Thank you for your continued support as well. You know, friends of Yadier Molina and I Am a Cardinal Fan, Yes I Am, are two of our favorite groups. They've got, you know, Vicky and Linda. I mean, they've got just tremendous ladies involved in this that do it, and they do it passionately, and they do it right. And when it comes to being in these Cardinal groups and having fun, they're really what embody this thing. And there's plenty of other ones too. St. Louis Cardinals Nation, STL Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals Crew, Cardinals Country. Yes, love that one. Baseball Heaven. Cardinals Fans versus Cardinal Haters is a good one. There's a lot of great groups out there. There is no shortage if you want to talk Cardinal baseball. Find us on social media. On Twitter, you'll find us at Birds on a Bat Show. If you're a Cardinal fan and follow us, we'll follow you back. Facebook's our big ask. Go to Facebook, type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. Follow our Facebook page. Click invite your friends. If you do that, it'd be amazing for us if you'd invite your friends to like our page as well. The big thing that you can do and try to win some awesome prizes is on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. The show's usually out by 5 o'clock. Go to our Facebook page. Like that post. Share that post. Comment on that post. You're eligible to win some amazing autographed memorabilia. Thanks to our friends, Benji and Yadier Molina and all the gang at m4byyadi.com. TwoBirdsOnTheBat.com is our website where you can learn more about the show, download it, subscribe. That's the easiest thing to stay in touch with what we're doing, especially in the offseason. For all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat and the gang at Bow Ties and Bullshit, let's go, Bert!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.